I want to start by talking about unwanted gifts. Now, if you search the term unwanted gifts on Facebook Marketplace, on Gumtree, or just Google, you can get some absolute bargains. Absolute bargains. I tried it this week. I found a 900 Angus and Coote gift voucher for 780. Who'd be interested in that for Christmas? I don't even know what Angus and Coote is. You can get a $70 Princess deep fryer. I believe it is the queen of deep fat fryers for $20. You can get, if you Google unwanted gifts, a Vera Wang Wedgwood photo frame. Not 130, but 60, because it's an unwanted gift. If you're in the market for an electric scooter, and I hope... No, don't go for an electric scooter. You can get a $1,000 electric scooter for $800. There are bargains to be had. There are bargains to be had this Christmas. Now, when I was searching through this list of unwanted gifts, you can't help but think, how would you feel if you were the giver of the gift that is now on Facebook Marketplace? How would you feel, especially if you were married to the giver of said gift, especially if you hadn't told them? I haven't done that. How would you feel receiving someone else's unwanted gift? How would you feel if this Christmas you received someone else's unwanted gift and you unwrapped it and someone said, that was something I gave to such and such, who you know. That would be pretty awkward. Kim this week actually had to. This week actually had to stop me from re-gifting a gift that was given to Stanley for his birthday at a birthday party of one of his classmates, just in case that kid was at the party and recognized the gift. I'm married to an amazing woman. Well, over the last 8 weeks, we've been looking at Jesus' I am sayings in John's Gospel, and we've been doing that to help us to prepare for Advent and to help us appreciate the gift that was given to the world on that very first Christmas in Jesus. Now, today we're looking at an I am saying that is not normally on the list of I am sayings. It's not normally on the schedule of the sermon series, if you've been to a sermon series on the I am statements from John's Gospel. But it's there. Chapter 18, verse 37. Pilate asked him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king." This left field I am statement comes right at the end of John's biography of Jesus' life, right in the middle of Pilate's trial of Jesus. And what we witness in this trial is the most tragic example of an unwanted gift our world has ever seen. Jesus, I am the unwanted gift. That's not very Christmassy, is it? Not only did they not teach him about Christmas wreaths at Bible college, they didn't teach him about seasons. This is meant to be Christmas, not Easter. But my hope this morning, as we look at this I am, right at the end of John's Gospel, in the middle of Jesus' trial, as we look at this rogue I am saying, it would cause us to appreciate God's gift all the more. That it would cause us to treasure Jesus for who he is. To love the baby that came to earth on that very first Christmas. To worship the King. And to appreciate the life and the hope that is found in Jesus. So I've got three headings as we look at this final rogue I am saying. Three headings. The first is this, the unwanted gift. The unwanted gift. Let me read from verse 33 of chapter 18. Then Pilate entered the headquarters again, summoned Jesus, and asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you ask this on your own, or did others tell you about me?" Pilate replied, "I'm not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priests have handed you over to me. What have you done? Jesus answered, my kingdom is not from this world. Central to the narrative of the trial of Jesus is the fact that it was the Jewish religious leaders that handed Jesus over to the Romans. Jesus says, Pilate says, your own nation and the chief priests have handed you over to me. In chapter 19, verse 6, as the chief priest and their henchmen are shouting, crucify him, Pilate states, I find no case against this man. See, what's happening on this trial is that the Jewish nation, the Jewish religious leaders, God's people are handing back an unwanted gift. They're handing over an unwanted gift. John, throughout his biography, has been painting this picture of Jesus by recording these I am sayings. We've been exploring them for the last 8 weeks, but let me just do a quick flyover just to recap us. So week one, we explored before Abraham was, I am, Jesus said. And we learned that Jesus is fully God, that he is no other than God himself, fully divine, fully eternal, fully creator, fully sustainer of everything. The breath in our lungs that we are breathing right now is because of Jesus. He is above all, he is before all things, and in him all things hold together, Colossians says. Week two, we learned that Jesus is the bread of life. He says, I am the bread of life. He says, I'm the bread that satisfies. I'm the bread that fulfills our biggest and deepest longings. Week three, we heard Jesus say, I am the light of the world. And we saw that that light is the light that unhaunts our lives, the light that takes away our deepest fears, guides us to our Creator, and guides us to forgiveness and salvation. Week four, we heard Jesus say, I'm the good shepherd who is the warrior, who is tough and strong and courageous, who will fight for us, who will protect us, who will put his life on the line, who would crush death and smash sin. I am the good shepherd. Week five, I am the resurrection and the life. The Jesus who promises to rise from the dead so that we will rise from the dead also. Week seven, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus, the unique source of hope and truth and life. And last week, week eight, I am the true vine who will bring joy and fruit and meaning to all those who keep trusting Jesus. That is the gift that gets taken to Pilate. That is the unwanted gift. Let me ask you, what is the best gift you've ever received? What is the best gift you've ever received? Think about it. It's not a patch on the gift of Jesus. Jesus is joy to the world. Jesus is the Lord who has come. Jesus is the light and life to all he brings, risen with healing in his wings. Born that man no more may die, born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth. This is the gift that John declares throughout his gospel. So as the chief priests, as the people of Israel bring Jesus to Pilate, we should feel the tragedy. We should feel the tragedy when the very people that Jesus came to save, the very people that received the promise of Jesus, the prophecies about Jesus for centuries before he came as a baby, the people who saw Jesus, who heard Jesus, who walked with Jesus, who smelt Jesus and touched Jesus, instead of worshiping him, instead of following him, they hand this most amazing gift over to the foreign occupying forces They create trumped up charges against Jesus and they cry, "Crucify him." Pilate asked them, "Shall I crucify your king?" The chief priests answered, "We have no king but the emperor." Then he handed him over to be crucified. That is terrible, isn't it? The God that we celebrate, who comes to earth on our Christmas cards, as the God who came to earth and causes us to celebrate and be united to our families, the God who comes to earth to give us hope, gets handed over to the enemy and gets handed over to death. And crucifixion wasn't any old death. It was the most excruciating, humiliating, shameful, torturous death ever invented. So shameful that it was illegal for Roman citizens to even talk about crucifixion. It was a means of execution that was so painful that it was forbidden for Roman citizens to suffer it. It's a tragedy, this unwanted gift, and we should feel that tragedy. We should feel that tragedy. The King of Love, the Good Shepherd, the True Vine, the Light of the World, gets handed over to the enemy forces, and they crush him, get him out of the picture. It is a tragedy, but at the same time, it is completely and utterly beautiful. Completely and utterly beautiful. That's the second point this morning. Not only is he an unwanted gift, he is a beautiful gift. Let me read from chapter 19, verse 1. Then Pilate took Jesus and had him flogged. And the soldiers wove a crown of thorns and put it on his head. They dressed him in a purple robe. They kept coming up to him saying, "Hail, King of the Jews," and striking him on the face. I wonder whether you see it as the scene is painted by John, as Leon read it out. In their mocking of Jesus, God wonderfully and beautifully uses these Roman soldiers, these Romans, to paint a picture of the true identity of Jesus. He's wearing a crown of thorns. He's wearing a purple robe. As they mockingly hail him King of the Jews, God is painting a picture of his king. 19 verse 19, Pilate also had an inscription written and put on the cross. It read, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." Many of the Jews read the inscription because the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and it was written in Hebrew, in Latin, and in Greek. Then the chief priests of the Jews said to Pilate, "Do not write the King of the Jews, but this man said, 'I am the King of the Jews.'" Pilate answered, "What I've written, I have written." See, what is being painted here is a picture of the king. And it is a picture not just of the King of the Jews, but the King of the Romans, the King of the world, the King of the universe, the King of you and me. The beautiful thing is that where we see all those "I am" sayings, when Jesus says those "I am" sayings, we get the climax and the fulfillment right at this point, where Jesus is hanging from a cross with a sign around his neck saying, "The King of the Jews." This is where we see the glory of God. The glory of God displayed. God on the cross. All of those sayings, all of those "I am" sayings, we see fulfilled on the cross. See, the cross is where we feed on the bread of life as we eat and trust in Jesus and the life and his life-giving death. This is where we see the light of the world shining as a beacon towards rescue from sin, towards eternal life, death defeated. This is where we see that good shepherd laying down his life for the sheep to save us from the lion that is Satan. It's on the cross where we see the door to eternal life. It's where we see the unique hope only found in Jesus. It's where we see the love of Jesus that we are to remain in. See why we land here? Because all of those I am sayings climax in Jesus hanging from a cross, being mocked as a king, but being displayed as God's true king. This is where we see Jesus' death for us, because of us, and instead of us. And this is where we are to worship. There's a beautiful moment in the previous chapter where the soldiers are sent to arrest Jesus. And as they come to him in the garden, the Mount of Olives, they come to him. And Jesus says this. He says, "Whom are you looking for?" They answered, "Jesus of Nazareth." Then Jesus replied, what does he reply? "I am he." Judas, who betrayed him, was standing with them. When Jesus said to them, "I am he," they stepped back and fell to the ground. It's an extraordinary moment, isn't it? That these enemies that have come to scrub the king of the universe out hear these words, "I am he." And they fall to the ground. It's a moment that kind of cuts through the tragedy of this situation as they fall down, prostrate before him. Let me ask you, do you see Jesus as the true I am? Do you see him? Do you worship him? Do you not just know about him? There'll be many of us who know about him. We've been doing Sunday school since we were little, and we know all about Jesus. But do we know him? Do we trust him? Do we follow him? Do we worship him? Not just on a Sunday at church club, but worship him with all of our lives, with all that God has made us, all that God has put in our lives. Do we worship him as he deserves? I love that picture of the soldiers just falling down, because in the darkness of that situation, it shows us what we're to do, to fall down in submission to the King of the universe. Do you worship him with every bit of you that he created? Because before Abraham was, I am. He created you. He created me. And he calls us to worship him. It's worth saying there'll be times in our lives when we won't want Jesus in our lives, that he will be an unwanted gift. There'll be times when we don't want him because he impacts our lives too much, he asks too much, he spoils our fun too much. And we'll want to kill Jesus out of our lives. Maybe that's you this morning. You're just hanging on to Jesus with your nails, you're just holding on to the last bit of him and tempted just to let him go. Maybe you've never come to worship Jesus before, and you know that you have killed Jesus out of your life. Know that Jesus is for you. He's the light of the world. He's the bread of life. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He's come so that we would trust him, remain in him. He's come as our life-giving gift. It's our final point this morning. Our life-giving gift. Verse 30 of chapter 18. Verse 30 of chapter 20. John kind of sums up his purpose of writing his biography of Jesus' life. He says this: "Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name." Friends, I want to invite you to take the gift that God has given you this Christmas. Take the gift of Jesus. Follow him as your good shepherd. Trust him, remain in him as the true vine. Feed on him as the bread of life. Follow him as the light of the world. Because he gives us joy, he gives us life, he gives fulfillment, and he gives hope like nothing else that this world offers. I want to encourage you to worship him. If you stop worshiping him, start worshiping him again today. If you never worshiped him in your life, say sorry to him. Come to him and trust him. Hail the heaven-born Prince of Peace. Hail the Son of Righteousness. Light and life to all he brings, risen with healing in his wings. That's what he offers. He offers life. That is God's gift to you. It is God's gift to me. So take him, treasure him, and worship him. Let's pray.